There we go. Jim, good to see you.
Okay, here we go. Okay, the meeting of the Planning and Zoning Board of the City of Winter Park for April 6, 2021 shall come to order. Let me begin by stating that the purpose of the Planning and Zoning Board is to review and make a recommendation on conditional uses, subdivisions, comprehensive plan amendments, land development code amendments, rezonings and other ordinances affecting the development of property, and to make final decisions on applications for the lakefront home approval. Any decision regarding lakefront homes under City Code Section 5887 is under the purview of this board, and the board's vote is a final decision that will not be heard by the City Commission. City Commission will consider the board's recommendations made tonight on other public hearing items Wednesday, April 28th, 2021 at 3:30. Or soon thereafter, as may be heard, and the City Commission will make the final decision on such matters. You are encouraged to keep apprised of the status of such matters going on before the City Commission by reviewing the City's website and upcoming City Commission meeting agendas. The meeting will proceed as follows. Chair of staff will announce each public hearing item as it appears on the agenda, which is available outside the front door. Staff will begin by making a presentation on each item and will provide the staff's recommendation. Next, we'll hear from the applicant. After that, the floor will be open to the public for anyone who wishes to speak in support of or opposition to the request. After public comment, the applicant will be given an opportunity to respond to the public comments. Please approach the podium and state your name and address for the record. With the exception of ordinances proposing comprehensive plan amendments and land development code amendments, the public hearing matters coming before the board are mostly quasi-judicial in nature. For quasi-judicial matters, the board considers the testimony and evidence in the record at the hearing and determines whether the applicable criteria for approval have been met. The testimony that you give to the board should be fully truthful in the same manner as if you were giving a sworn testimony in a court of law. In the interest of time, we ask that each person appearing before the board limit their comments to one appearance of 3 minutes. Large groups are asked to name a spokesperson. We ask that your testimony be relevant to the public hearing matter to which you are speaking and avoid repeating arguments and testimony made by yourself and others. Order and decorum will be preserved at all times. Please address all your comments to the board and not to the audience. After all public input, the public comment period will be closed. Board members will then discuss and we will vote on a recommendation to the City Commission with any conditions that may be appropriate. Please turn off or silence all mobile devices during these public hearings. The first item of business is the approval of the March 2nd, 2021 meeting minutes. Do we have a second of the approval of the meeting minutes?
Second the approval.
Roll call, Mary.
Dr. James.
Yes.
Mr. Bornstein.
Yes.
Dr. Baish.
Yes.
Mr. Fitch.
Yes.
Chairman Johnston.
Yes, passes unanimously. On to SPR 2104, request of Native Homes. Allison.
Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me all right? Yes, okay, good.
Yes.
just gonna get IT to engage the PowerPoint. All right, so the first item on your agenda is a lakefront site plan request for this lot, 622 Country Club Drive, which is located on Lake Killarney and is zoned R2. This property is also known as Lot 2 of the Lake Killarney Shores replat and is actually the last lakefront lot of this replatted subdivision that's coming before you for a lakefront approval. The applicant is proposing a new two-story, 4,022 square foot single family home. And as usual, the board is tasked with reviewing the lakefront review criteria. With respect to tree preservation, no trees are being removed as part of this request. With respect to lake views, the pool and pool deck are proposed at lower than the 3-foot height maximum as required by code. In terms of stormwater retention, the applicant is proposing a swale near the lakefront that's sized to meet our code requirements. And lastly, with respect to views of the neighbors, staff has determined that the average lakefront setback of this property is 72.3 feet, and the applicant is proposing a 70-foot setback for the home and a 50-foot setback for the pool. So it's 2.3 feet closer to the lake than the average, but it is consistent with the properties to the north and south. They both proposed a 70-foot setback, so it's right in line with their lakefront setback. So there won't be any obstruction of lake views to either of those adjoining properties. Lastly, the applicant is requesting a front setback variance. So they are proposing a side entry garage, and due to the width of the lot, they're asking for a 5-foot variance to the front to make it 5 feet closer to the street, just to give them more room for the cars to back out of that side entry driveway. And while the R2 zoning code does encourage side entry driveways, it doesn't give any relief for side or for front setbacks like for the skinnier width lot like this one. But as you did see in your packet, these are the views of the homes from all sides, but also included in your packet was letters of approval from neighbors on both sides to the north and south of this lot, saying they don't have any objection to the 5-foot front setback variance. And also want to note that the property to the south also, or southeast, also got the same 5-foot side front setback variance to also do a 5-foot or for a side entry garage. So with that, the plans meet the intent of the lakefront review criteria. So staff is recommending approval of their request and their 5-foot front setback variance. So with that, I'll take any questions for staff if the board has any.
Seeing none.
I've got one.
You do have one.
Allison, Richard. Was there also a side variance setback of 5 feet?
No, just the front. I'm sorry if I accidentally said side, I meant front.
Okay, thank you.
Allison, again, there is precedent again with the other neighbors for the 5-foot. Just, okay.
Yes. And,
all right, any other questions for staff? Seeing none, would the applicant like to come forward, address the board? You don't have to, but if you want to, you can. Right, that's fine. And we can bring you back up after the public section if there are questions for you from the public. That's great. Okay. At this time, we'll open up for public comments. Is there anyone in here who would like to address the board on this topic? Okay. Seeing none, I will close the public portion. Open it up for board comments.
Ross.
Yes.
I mean, Chairman Johnson.
Yes.
We have 7 attendees.
I'm sorry, I forgot the online. You're absolutely right.
We have 7 attendees, but we have no one that has registered to speak. But if you'd like to speak and you're in the queue and you're participating by phone, please press *9 to raise your hand or use the hand raise feature if you're online.
Anyone on the internet out there would like to speak on Native Homes, 622 Country Club Drive?
No hands are raised.
Okay. We will move on to board comments then. Seeing no board comments, Owen, can you make a motion
yes, I
for
will,
us?
I will. I would like to move that Thank we you, approve SPR number 2104, a request of Native Homes for approval to construct a new 2-story 4,022 square foot single family home at 622 Country Club Drive on Lake Killarney, zoned R2 as identified in the staff report.
I'll second.
Roll call, please, Mary.
Mr. Bornstein?
Yes.
Dr. Beisch?
Yes.
Mr. Fitch?
Yes.
Dr. James?
Yes.
And Chairman Johnston?
Yes. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you.
SPR 21-05, DAP Design.
All right, next up on your agenda is another lakefront site plan request. And this request is for this lot as shown on the screen, which is 1400 Green Cove Road, which is located on Lake Maitland and is zoned R1 AAA. The applicant is proposing a new two-story, 9,469 square foot single family home and reviewing the typical lakefront review criteria with respect to tree preservation. The applicant is proposing to remove two magnolia trees that are in the front of their lot that aren't in great condition, but they are preserving the remaining oak trees and cypress trees that are along the lakefront. In terms of stormwater retention, they are proposing a stormwater swale near the lakefront that's sized to meet our code requirements and are also designing it in order to avoid the cypress trees that are near the lakefront so that during the construction of the stormwater pond, it will not impact those cypress trees. With respect to lake views, staff determined that the average lakefront setback for this property is 95 feet. And the applicant is proposing their home at that 95-foot setback and then proposing the home at the minimum 50-foot setback for the pool. And then with respect to lake views, they are asking for a variance for their deck height. They are proposing a deck height at 7.5 feet above existing grade in lieu of the 3-foot maximum as determined by code. And normally, planning staff wouldn't approve a deck height variance of this 7.5 feet due to the impact, visual impact it has on the lakefront and the neighbors. But as you can see in this lakefront elevation, how it tapers down towards the lakefront, they're proposing terraced landscape planters in order to minimize the impact of that deck height from the lakefront, as you can see in these elevations here. And they also have an extensive landscape buffer on each side of the property. It's actually so extensive that when I asked the applicant to try to get a picture of the adjoining properties just to see what their their pool deck looks like to see if they're proposing a similar situation as this applicant is, couldn't even get a picture of it. So actually this one was kind of fun because I was able to work with our Lakes and Waterways Department and got out on the boat and got to see what the rear of the two homes to the each side of this actually look like from the lake. So as you can see from these pictures, the applicant at the neighbor at 316 Green Cove Drive actually has a similar situation where their pool deck exceeds the 3-foot height maximum. As you can see how it slopes, the property now slopes up to their deck height, and that's how they achieved not having it be, just a blank wall is towards the lakefront with the grass and the elevation of the property. And then the other neighbor at 402 Green Cove Drive have a similar situation that as the applicant is proposing, the same terraced landscape buffer. So as when you're looking from the lake, it's not as much of a visual impact. So to summarize, the applicant's really proposing a pool deck height that's compatible with their neighbors, and they are minimizing the impact of it because they have that landscape screening along the sides of the property and with the terraced walls in front of it. So with that, the staff recommendation for this is for approval with the requirement that they maintain that existing landscape buffer on those two side property lines. And with that, I'll take any questions that board may have for staff.
Any issues with the neighbors at all?
Not that I've heard.
Nothing. Have the neighbors been contacted?
Yeah, they're noticed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Any other questions for Allison? Seeing none, we will, is the applicant here? Would they like to address the board? You don't have to if you want to. Yeah, we'll bring you back up afterwards if there's any questions from the public or online. This point, we'll open up the public comment portion. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak? I think right over there is for the public. Looks like you got a bad wheel, so sorry to make you walk.
Thank you. My name is Mitch Levin. I'm at 1402 Green Cove Road. It would be helpful if we could see the adjacent site maps. I've asked for that and didn't get a chance to see that. So we're the adjacent neighbor to the north and to the west. And we're excited that this house is getting built because the house is in disrepair now and has been neglected. It has been the, as of the property and the landscaping. So the concern is they're building something on the north, on their northwest side, my southeast side, that is high, and there's an outhouse there. And that outhouse will have the direct entrance view from our deck. And unless I can see a site map, I would have to say that we would be very unhappy to have that in this fortunately multi-million dollar neighborhood. And I would like to see that certainly that the landscaping has to be maintained and that the we don't want to look at this outhouse and the roof of this outhouse to diminish what is a very extensive view, as all of the neighbors have been able to maintain their landscaping so that we can see across each other's yards to the widest portion of the lake.
When you say outhouse, you mean out parcel is separate house?
Well, there is an out parcel or an outcropping of a property on the other side of the pool. And they have storage and then they have a bathroom. That's a fancy outhouse.
Okay.
And it's not part of the and not connected to the main structure.
Okay. Okay. And you've asked for these, you've asked for, have you spoken to the owner, the builder, the buyer?
Have not, because I only received this and I don't know how to get in touch with this. The only thing that we've received is this.
Okay.
Didn't know how to get in touch with anybody, but we've certainly called the city and asked and still have not seen a site map. I presume it's not that hard to see a site map of the adjacent properties.
Usually it's not. I can't speak in the specific, but again, I think staff can help you with that, and hopefully the applicant can address that as well. Maybe it can come up afterwards.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else from the public like to address the board? Mary, anyone online like to address?
We still have 7 attendees in the queue. If anyone would like to speak, please press *9 on your phones or use the raise hand feature online.
Anyone online for 1400 Green Cove Road?
No hands are raised.
Okay, hearing none, I will ask the applicant if he wants to come back up. He does not have to address the question. It's your decision.
It's up to the gentleman individually, or
probably best to just address it individually afterwards. I think that's great. Okay. Okay, thank you. Okay, we will close public and open it up for board comments. Anyone on board comments? Okay. David, can you make a motion for us,
sure,
please, on this?
I'll make a motion that we approve SPR 21-05, the request of DAP Design to construct a new two-story 9,469 square foot single family home located at 1400 Green Cove Road on Lake Maitland, zoned R1AAA, with the requirement to maintain the existing landscape privacy buffer along the side property lines.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Mary, roll call.
Mr. Fitch?
Yes.
Dr. Baish?
Yes.
Dr. James?
Yes.
Mr. Bornstein?
Yes.
Chairman Johnson?
Yes. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. On to SPR 2106, request of Jonathan Cole.
Okay. Next item on our agenda is a similar lakefront site plan review. And as you said, Mr. Chairman, all of these lakefront site plan reviews are decided by the Planning and Zoning Board tonight. They do not go on to the City Commission. These are not recommendations. These are final decisions. And this request is for a new two-story, 6,300 single-family home located at 721 Virginia Drive on Lake Virginia, property zoned R1AAA. And this is an aerial picture of the property. It's vacant right now. but this will be helpful in terms of some of the other issues. Let's knock out the three items that we have that are not issues on this request. First of all, it's tree preservation. The lot doesn't have any trees, so we don't have to worry about the preservation aspect. We also are always concerned with how they are designing with the grade of the lot. So we do not have excessive retaining walls, stem walls on the lakeside. And in this particular case, the applicant has designed with the grade because they have put steps inside the house to transition the grade as you go through the house, and then steps from the house to the pool. So the pool's at a lower level. So we have a pool deck height, worst case on the lakeside, of 4 feet above grade. You'll recall from some others on the south shore of Lake Virginia, where there is a significant amount of grade drop, that we've been talking about 5.5 to 7 feet. So the reason this is less and very acceptable is that they have worked internally in the house to put some steps and bring those floor levels down. And then lastly, stormwater. This lot is about a foot or so lower than the two neighbors. There is a retaining wall on either side. I can show that in a later picture, which is good because all the water then that falls on this lot and is carried around the house cannot get onto the neighbor's property. It's lower, and this is going to be stem wall construction. So obviously the water isn't going to flow up over a side wall. It's going to go down the side property lines and the swale system to a lakefront retention area. And so there will be no water impact on neighbors, and there won't be any problem getting it around the house down to the lake. So what we're going to talk about is our final of our four issues that we review on all these lakefronts, which is the view of neighbors. So I'm going to go to the next slide. This is just an overview of the site plan and the second floor plan. And then the next slide is the site plan. And what is helpful on this site plan to pay attention to is if you look at the top of that site plan and you see where the house ends, you see that it lines up almost exactly with where the neighbor to the north side, onto the top on this slide, almost exactly where their pool deck is.
Jeff, do you have a laser pointer or something? You don't have a, I can't follow you exactly. Do you have a laser pointer? I know we've effectively used those before. Can you point those out for everybody to see?
Whoa, look at Jeff.
Wow, that's pretty high tech.
So that particular portion of the slide, you see at the bottom of it, the corner of the house, and you see the top of this little circle, you see the neighbor's swimming pool deck. So when we talk, as we will, at depth from here on out about how far does this house go towards the lake, it goes towards the lake as far as the neighbor's lakefront pool area for frame of reference when we look at some later pictures. In terms of numbers, it's an 81-foot setback from the lake to the closest portion of the house, and it's 50 feet from the pool to the lake, which is the minimum code requirement. We typically are not concerned about pool's blocking view, because again, the pool is just 4 feet in height, so it is not blocking any of the neighbor's views. It's the house that we are focused on. And so what we do when we have these reviews is we look at what the average lakefront setback is for the homes within 200 feet. And based on the staff's calculation, that's 112 feet. This is at 81 feet, so it's ahead of the average. It is not a variance. It is not a variance to go ahead of the average. The average that we calculate is a guide, because we know if someone meets the average, they're not likely to be blocking anyone's view because they are in line with the neighbor's homes. And so everything in front of that average, down to the minimum 50 feet, is at the discretion of the Planning and Zoning Board as to whether you feel that home, in this case at 81 feet, unduly impairs the lakefront view of neighbors. The code does not say that you have to preserve the lake views, because if we wanted to maintain the exact same view that every neighbor has now, the code would say preserve lake views. But there's a recognition in the code that we're going to have instances where homes are going to be built that are going to be some distance in front of neighbors. And so that's why the criteria is unduly impairs. And unfortunately for the board, that's not a scientific defined criteria. It is a judgment call by the board as to whether having a portion of your view disturbed, whether that unduly impairs the lake view that you have. So I'm going to walk through some pictures here for you. Trying to click it. This is just a picture of the vacant lot, and it supports what I said earlier about the significant grade down to the water, how they worked with it in terms of the internal steps in the house. Next picture is a picture of the property to the east that I was just referring to. You'll note that there is some significant landscape screening about 6 feet in height there on that property line in terms of the effect on views from the first story of a house. We already do have some significant landscaping. If you look at right at the bottom where those dumpster lids are, you'll see the little retaining wall that I talked about that keeps water on their site. And then on the west side of the lot, you will see that property again with some existing hedges, in this case about 5 feet in height. And you can't see down the bottom of the hedge, but there is a small little retaining wall I mentioned about the water. The next slide has been provided by the applicant, and this is showing the house superimposed on the vacant lot based on the site plan that they have asked for. And it is difficult to see, especially in this slide, but it is worthwhile in that area to note that what you're seeing in the darkest color is the second story of the house, and what you're seeing in really the lighter color is the one story element of the house. So the 81 feet is measured to the one story, and it's roughly about 10 feet back to that second story component. So we can come back to that if we find that to be helpful. Trying to go to the next slide. Clicking and pointing, Jeremy, there we go. So what is unduly impaired? That's the question. And you know, it's really hard to find in today's world a protractor.
Yeah.
You know how hard it was to find one? But this is a view from the neighbor to the east from their home, based on the pictures I'll show you in a moment that they've provided to you, of what their view is. And you can see that predominantly the view, because they are down in the eastern portion of Lake Virginia, the predominant view is towards the northwest, across the lake, up towards Rollins. And this is the view that they have today. If the lake continued further to the right, to the east, they might have a 180-degree view of the water. but the cove ends. And so they have, because there are no structures now in the way, a 130-degree view of the lake. And when you superimpose the setback for the new home, then what that does is reduce the view down to the purple line. And so they are losing 25% of that 130 degrees. They are losing 19% of their lake view. Again, the judgment call for the board is whether that 19% is unduly impaired, whether it's sufficient that they still have 81% of their lake view intact without any structures blocking the view. And that's the judgment call that you'll be placed to decide tonight. Obviously, you're going to hear two different perspectives from that that position. I'll come back to that. That may be helpful later, but let me move forward. Jeremy. Nope. I'm going to come back to that one for a minute. Sorry. This is a picture that was provided to the city by the neighbors to the east. And you can see this is pointed towards the predominant view to the northwest up towards Rollins, based on the setback of the proposed home. Then the loss of view. I'm pushing, but I'm not getting. Would be roughly that, because that's basically where the new home would be. That's the view portion that's being blocked. I'll go.
Yeah, please go back. Compare those real quickly again for me.
No, oh, I went the wrong direction. Can we go? Oops, sorry. So there's the current view, a picture that they've provided to us. And this is, come on. That's the difference in terms of the view from that picture. And then the neighbors have provided us with a second picture taken from a different portion of the second story of the house. And you can see where their pool ends. Again, that's going to be where the home is going to go to on a, you know, diagonally. And basically the view impairment. Doing a lot of pushing, not a lot of happening. Is this amount of view that's blocked based on that picture that's been provided. So I'm gonna go back a couple of slides to the lake view and talk about something else, because we get really worked up on some of these applications about buildings blocking our view. And we tend to overlook that there are no restrictions on landscaping, that neighbors can plant whatever they want to plant. They can plant hedges, they can plant bamboo, they can plant whatever. We are not landscaping police. And effectively, a neighbor, if they wanted to, could use the bamboo, as an example, to obscure far more view than a home could, because you can take that bamboo or other landscaping all the way down to the lakefront. So if that were the scenario on this particular property, where you had an owner that wanted to do that kind of landscaping for whatever the motivation, then the green line is what would happen in terms of view. And you can see that the neighbor to the east and all the neighbors to the east would lose a significant part of their lake view, because they wouldn't be able to see over any portion of the lakefront. if the owner decided to move forward and do bamboo down to the lake's edge. And the board will recall that we dealt with a very similar issue there at 1202, 1204 North Park Avenue and 12 Oaks. Right. And one of the important things that we did was both the requirement and the absence of bamboo planting, because we required bamboo planting where the house was going to be. So the neighbor wasn't looking at a house, they were just looking at bamboo. But we prohibited any plantings further down to the lake. So we made sure, because remember how well those neighbors got along with each other at our meeting, we made sure that there was no spite landscaping that happened on down the road in the future. And so you do see then, importantly, as a protection to all of the neighbors to the east, that the staff recommendation contains a restriction and prohibition on any bamboo, any landscaping, you know, above the normal 5 foot type height going down to the lake. But the applicant has volunteered to put bamboo plantings as far as the house goes. So neighbors are looking at green instead of brick, stucco, but is in agreement not to do any plantings beyond that point. But otherwise, going back one slide here, which may be helpful, if I can get it to go back. This is the essence of the discussion for the board tonight. Does the loss of 19% of the lake view by virtue of this house location constitute undue impairment when 81% of the lake view still remains in place? You know, we have these situations that come before us because homes are built that are typically bigger than what was there before. The homes on either side of this are about 4,500 square feet. As you heard a minute ago, this is 6,300 square feet. All the homes are starting at the same spot. They're starting at the front setback. So if I'm building 6,300, I have to be closer to the lake than a 4,500 square foot house, because I just have a bigger box than my neighbors. So the only way to reduce the impact of that box is either to tell a private property owner that you cannot build 6,300 square feet because of your impairment, undue impairment of a lake view, or try to find a way, perhaps, if there is a way, to push the house a little bit up closer to the street, as we have done in some other instances. So again, the staff has always viewed this issue from the context of the code does not say preserve one's lake view. There's never been an entitlement to have exactly the same view without any impairment. If that was the case, we wouldn't be able to build homes any larger than they are now today on the lakefront, because the box is always getting bigger. And so in the opinion of staff, losing that percentage of the view is not an undue impairment. And the trade-off for the affected owners to the east is that we have the prohibition of any landscaping that would grow up and block the rest of the arc ongoing through the future, which as a condition of approval is recorded in the public record and enforceable by our code enforcement boards, up to theoretically a fine of $5,000 a day if you had an obstinate owner that wanted to try the city on this. So that's the staff's recommendation and presentation. I'll see if there's questions from the board members.
Jeff, the map here looks like just the topography of the coastline exacerbates the loss of view. It's a jog to the back that then forces that view to be losing more. Am I seeing that correct?
Correct. Most of the view is towards the northwest because they are in the furthest eastern right-hand portion of the lake. So most of their view, of course, it's right out front, but it's also to the left-hand side of the screen as you're looking out across the lake towards Rollins. And
right. If this was a if this was an even coastline, shoreline, this loss of view would be less.
It would
in
be
this
because
particular
I would have
situation.
Significantly more on my right hand side.
I can't
I would
tell
have more
on
water
on
my right hand side.
Yeah. What are the options on the front setback variance?
Well, the board is empowered to grant a front setback variance. That would be a negotiation with the applicant. We'll see if the applicant would consider that or not. That's not something that, that's up to the applicant to address the board with.
I'm sorry, can we ask the,
sure.
the applicant to
oh, absolutely.
Adjust
sure.
the front
sure.
setback
sure.
without
sure.
him
because
even
you
requesting
have that authority,
the variance?
Huh?
What's that?
Yes, you can ask.
We can impose that. Is that correct? The city can?
You could impose, but perhaps they want to volunteer. I'm not sure. Let's
okay.
see.
Okay. Any other questions for?
Yes.
Yes.
Jeff, there's a note in the write-up. Staff has asked the applicant to consider moving the home into the front setback closer to the street. What is the result of that?
Well, for every foot the house gets pulled up towards the street, it opens up and reduces some of that 19% of the view because that purple line then tilts over more towards the left and opens up more of the lake view from the homeowners and residents to the
well,
east.
Well, I understand that, but why couldn't this house be moved 20 feet closer to the street? And if we had to give a variance on the front, that would be sort of midway between the averages of 112 and this house at 81.
Well, I hear you. I understand that this home needs
the
to
applicant's
have
a, not
this home needs
willing
to have a driveway.
To do this.
This home needs to have a driveway to be able to get in and out front door and garages. So there's a limit on how far to the front, you know, we can go. Spirit of what you're saying in terms of moving the house is within the authority of the board, depending on the impact on the, you know, the driveways have to work.
Are you aware of discussions between the neighbors and the applicant in terms of moving the house on a variance to the front of the street? That has not come up in discussions with
the city. I have not been a participant in any.
I assume we'll hear that from both of them this evening, but I just didn't know if it had been publicly discussed with staff.
Not with staff.
Okay. Right. It seems to me there's a logical middle ground there somewhere.
Yep.
Okay, anything else for staff? Owen, sorry, go ahead.
No problem. Jeff. Since and this similar things have come up before, the example you gave is certainly one that caused a lot of people some angst. Would you, just for the record, describe the various steps to calculate the average distance, which you described, you know, as 200 feet in this case, I mean, 112 feet. You look at the homes too. Would you detail that out step by step, please?
So we calculate the average because we feel extremely confident that if you meet the average, then you aren't going to be blocking anyone's view. And so we look at the setback from the lake, from the homes within 200 feet, typically two homes on one side, two homes on the other side. To get that number. However, that's not the lakefront setback. The minimum lakefront setback is 50 feet. You, as the board, have the discretion and authority to approve anything between the average is in essence their entitlement. They know they're entitled there, and the 50. So anything between the average and the 50 is the discretion judgment of the board based on what unduly impairs someone's lake view.
Yeah, the unduly impaired, of course, is the waffle language, understood. Have you, I mean, mathematically, I have to make a comment to pose a question here. Mathematically, each time we approve something with a slightly reduced setback, whatever it is, while not impairing the 50 feet, at some future time, and we would do the average would, of course, be lower, right? I mean, that's mathematically incapable of another result. So the question I'm posing here is, have we ever had an occasion, you know, where that you've been here, where we've come back to a second iteration of development, where that average then had already been reduced, resulting in kind of the debate we're having now that said, well, if we had not moved this, our view would be 20% more. Again, leading to the subsequent and future reduced percentage. I think you understand what I'm getting at. I don't know that we've had any occasion to look at it. If we have, I'd like your comment.
The spirit of what you're saying is correct. As these homes and redevelopment happens on the lakefronts, they are always bigger homes. They are always getting closer to the lake. Every time a new one is built, yes, that does change the average. To the extent that the board, planning and zoning, provides relief so the house can be closer to the street, that minimizes the increase, the change in the average, and that's one of the reasons is within your authority. Our first one in Country Club, it was right. 5 feet, but it.
All right. Yeah. Wouldn't it also be true, Jeff, if any of these nearby neighbors decided to sell their property with the idea that potentially the house would be removed at some future time to be redeveloped, given the similarity in the size of lots, that they could do a similar size structure such as being proposed this evening. Is that correct?
That's correct, because if either of these two homes on either side were to be redeveloped and a 6,300 square foot house replaced their 4,500 square foot house, it's going to go closer to the lake and it's going to be a comparable setback.
And could I get you to speculate on this, Jeff? I mean, if someone were to redevelop their property and make it available for a larger home, which someone might choose to do, is it fair to conclude that their property values might be improved somewhat in this subsequent transaction if that occurred?
I'm not sure I followed that. I'm sorry.
Being able to build a bigger home at some future time, is it reasonable to speculate that maybe the underlying property value would similarly appreciate?
Well, certainly that's, you know, one of the many factors that go into the value of property, location, but also the square footage that you can build is a factor in the valuation,
right.
Sure.
Which is kind of my point. So my last question for you is, Were there, you know, we received a lot of letters and I casually looked at them. I can't say that I looked at them in detail. Did any of these letters make an issue about property values? Was that brought up or was it strictly a view discussion?
Well, you read, it seemed primarily views to me. I mean, you could say that translates into property values because I can't see as much of the lake.
They asked that or brought that up explicitly. You don't recall, which is fine.
No, I don't recall.
Okay. That's it. Thank you.
I have one question. And this is maybe a little bit of historical perspective, but every time a house like this comes before P&Z, at least in the time that I've been here, we hear that it is a subjective opinion that needs to be rendered, that we have to, that it is really up to us to decide whether a significant portion of view has been lost. Has there ever been an attempt to actually quantify what significant means? I mean, is it, you know, it would take a huge burden off of planning and zoning if we knew that a 30% loss of view was considered significant, or 20% or 50%, as opposed to it being sort of a random discussion every time. So I was wondering if there had ever been an attempt by staff to actually quantify what significant loss of view means.
No, because I'm sorry. The difficulty is that the cases are so different, it defies a number, because it could be a one-story home that's going in front of the average, and you could have landscaping like we just saw on the one before on Green Cove, where you couldn't even see the one-story home. So it's often it depends upon the design, and that's why it defies just having a specific number.
I was going to mention that I worked on the West Coast in the city of Del Mar, where we had coastal view sheds, and where we tried to have some of the strictest view restrictions ever, where you actually had to build the home that you planned on building out of something called story poles, where you would actually construct it and then have string running across, and you would actually build the home essentially out of sticks to assess the coastal view. And there is no number that any municipality that I've ever run across that has been able to give you an exact number of what is too much, what is the exact number, because each one is different. It is always going to be up to it's a decision that's going to be made by the board. It's a tough position to be in to make that decision. But I can tell you that I've never successfully seen a city define exactly what is acceptable.
Okay. Any other questions for staff? We're good. Okay. At this time, would the applicant like to come forward and address the board? Okay, you can come back afterwards. At this point, I'd like to open up to the public. Anyone in the room would like to speak, please step forward. State your name. You want to go that way? That's fine. And address for the record, please.
Okay. Thank you. My name is Allison Yurko. I'm an attorney with Allison Yurko PA here in Winter Park. I'm representing the Randolph family who live adjacent to this proposed house. You guys have asked some great questions. I think I might have some answers here. I'm just going to, and I'll go ahead and end my presentation, and then I'll sort of address some of the points you've made. We are objecting to this for a number of reasons. The first thing that is, I think, extremely significant here is that this is a substandard lot of record. It is a non-conforming lot. That's never been brought up in any portion of the staff presentation. Your R111A requirements are that you have 150 feet in width. This lot is about 88 feet wide. It's from the 1957 plat of Timberlane Shores. The planning official has made a determination in their staff report that a non-conforming lot can be a candidate for a code deviation. We disagree. You are increasing the non-conformity. We do take issue with that point very significantly. And again, you can see the little orange arrow there. You can see how small these lots are here on Virginia Drive. And then this is a wonderful comparison. Chairman Johnson, you made the very astute point about the cove. This shows you how we are situated to the cove, towards the cove end of this lake. The white line there points exactly to the Randolph home. The Randolphs object to this. Their view is significantly impaired. The Evans object to this. They're on the other side of us towards the cove. These are very small lots. They don't meet the minimum width. So what's happening, to build a 6,300 square foot house, you have to push it out towards the lake. It's overbuilding on the lot. And this is also a wonderful comparison, because you can look to the right and you can see Preserve Point. Those are multi-acre lots with large homes on them. They're the type of lots that you would build a house this big on. You wouldn't jam that into a substandard lot like you have on here on Virginia Drive. This request exceeds the house size compared to the other lots in the RAAA non-conforming lots there on Virginia Drive by almost 50%. The applicant purchased the lot in 2020, but it had a home on it. And you can see here how that home pretty much lined up with the view of the Randolph property. And that last area of the house is actually an open lanai, and there was no pool there. There was no deviation from the average of the prior lot. They're asking for that now. Okay, yeah. Okay, so yeah, I apologize. So what is the rear yard setback for lakefront property per code, which is your waterfront setback? And I think it's important to really analyze what that language says. 5887D5A says it shall be the average established by the adjacent waterfront properties within 200 feet of the subject property, or 50 feet, whichever is greater. How is the measurement calculated? It's calculated from the ordinary high to the single family and duplex buildings and any other accessory structures on those properties. Any other accessory structures on those properties is what it says. And it lesses out boat docks, over the water gazebos, or retaining walls. But they're clearly wanting you to measure that from accessory structures. What is considered an accessory structure for purposes of measuring the average setback? 5887D5 says, structures in this context shall also include parking lots, driveways, swimming pools, cabanas, screen enclosures, tennis courts, and other accessory buildings. But again, going back to the other one, not boathouses, docks, over the water gazebos, or retaining walls. So the structures must include the pool and deck for purposes of measurement in terms of the interpretation of your code. What is the waterfront setback requirement for the Cole property? Well, again, I think this is a very important exhibit, and I'm actually gonna, if we could just hand that out. So you can actually have a copy of my PowerPoint, and I've tabbed some of these maps so you can go back and forth with them. This is a very important exhibit. It shows the setbacks, and the setback that we're getting, if you interpret code as it's written, is 86 feet is the average measurement using accessory structures. If you interpret it from the buildings as staff has, which again, you can, we're getting 114 feet, they're getting 112. But the reason why that's important is because when you start looking at this, you have to ask yourself, what is the percentage of deviation from the waterfront setback that is being requested by this applicant? Okay, remember, your baseline is 50 feet. That's the furthest you can get. That's rather the minimum that you can have from the lake. This applicant has a structure, accessory structure there. It's the 4-foot high pool deck. They're at 50 feet. That they want to go all the way from what we're calculating as 86 feet to 50 feet. It's almost half as much as what they're required to do. That's an awful lot. They're almost cutting the minimum setback in half. And even if you look at the building setback the way staff does, they're going from 112 to 114 feet to 81. So that's about a third less than what they're supposed to do. These are very, very significant deviations that they're asking for here. We heard a lot about the standards. What are the standards that you have to look at when you determine whether to grant a code deviation for a waterfront setback? And Commissioner Bornstein, I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, there are none that are really outlined in 5887D5. You have this tremendous discretion. So what staff is saying is, well, the standard, the guideline that we think you should use is, does it unduly impair the view? And that's, with all due respect, so subjective. How do you figure that out on something this important? I would submit to you that the other thing that you might want to consider when you look at the rules of construction is that the rules of construction mean that you're supposed to read the code, what we call in peri materia, with the rest of the code. You ought to look at the standards for variances as being guidelines when you look at whether or not to approve these. And Allison used the word variance a couple of times in her presentation. And yes, we know this is technically not a variance. I get it. You're not the BZA. You don't have to follow that as a standard per se, but it is just as good of a guideline as this ridiculous unduly impairing view guideline. So I think we ought to examine those and ask, are we meeting those? The first is, are there special conditions and circumstances peculiar to the land structure or building involved, which are not applicable to other land structures or buildings in the district? And there is absolutely not. There's nothing at all unusual about this lot when you compare it to those other substandard R1AA lots on Virginia Drive in Timberlane Shores. The next guideline would be, does granting the request, it should not confer any special privilege on the applicant. Well, again, this is a substandard lot of record per a 1957 plat. Every lakefront lot on this Virginia Drive is substandard. This applicant has a lot width of 88.12 feet, at least at the front there, and I don't think it gets much wider. It's almost half of what the 150-foot lot width requirement in R1AAA is, and that's under section 5865E of the code. And the applicant's house will be, that he wants to build now, is going to be almost 50% larger than the average square footage of all the other R1AAA lots on Virginia Drive. So I would submit to you that allowing this code deviation does in fact confer a special privilege on the applicant that the other people on the street don't get, and it's in violation of this guideline, and it's obviously much to the detriment of the Randolphs and the Evans, who are on the Cove side of this. Of this proposed house. Then we have, let's see here, okay.
Ms. Shirko, let me ask you, how long do you expect to speak this evening?
Oh, I'm just-
You're at about 8 minutes already.
Okay.
And usually it's three, and
okay.
I've given you a lot of latitude. I don't know who you're representing. I'm gonna assume it's more than one.
Okay.
But we can't keep going on for
sure.
Five,
okay.
Six, seven, eight, nine
I'll
minutes.
Go ahead and wrap up. I don't know
Thank
where
you.
The rest of this is. Let's see here. Okay, I'm having trouble getting to the next. We have the percentage of deviation. It's blacking out here. It's not letting me advance the slide. Okay, there we go. The special privilege. Literal interpretation of the code would deprive the applicant of rights commonly enjoyed by other properties. Again, granting this request far exceeds the rights commonly enjoyed by other properties by a half to a third. It's out of proportion in size with the other lakefront homes on the substandard lots. It deprives the other owners of rights that they currently enjoy. This is a picture of the Randolph's porch. You saw that before. This is their back bedroom. This is a very frequently used portion of their home. It is particularly burdensome to them because their pool was built over on the boundary over by the Cole property because of an objection raised by the Evans back in 2000 when their home was originally built. So their activity is pushed over to that side. And we respectfully disagree with the staff interpretation about the view blockage. We believe that where that pole is about the area that would be blocked here. The special conditions and circumstances did not result from the actions of the applicant. We know the applicant paid a substantial sum for this lot. He could have made the sale contingent on receiving this code deviation approval. He took with notice that he was purchasing a substandard lot of record. We know per code that he had notice of the waterfront setback requirement, and he had notice that he was buying a non-conforming substandard lot. So he took with notice of this. He created this hardship. Precedent, are we opening the door to overbuild on Virginia Drive, non-conforming lots in the Timberlane Shores subdivision? Is a code deviation even allowed considering that Cole has a non-conforming lot? We're not lessening the waterfront setback in a way. Doesn't lessening the waterfront setback increase its nonconformity? I would argue that it does. Nonconforming uses are supposed to come into conformity with the code, not go the other direction. We respectfully disagree with the planning official determination that this is even allowable. We would ask that you deny the request. And with all due respect, we are open to discussing conditions with the applicant. And we would ask that you all send a strong message that there is no entitlement to this. This is a deviation, a very significant deviation. And perhaps if you were to continue this and send that message, you know, the minimum setback, front yard setback for a front entry garage is 20 feet. That gives about 18 feet of play in the front there. You have the discretion to allow a side yard setback. If you want to talk about the plants, that is extremely helpful. We ought to button that down with discussing that with the applicant, making sure there's no plantings lakeward of the deck and making sure everybody understands where the grade is. So again, we are certainly open to discussing conditions. There is no entitlement, and we just need your help to sort of nudge along a fruitful negotiation so that this is fair. These are next door neighbors, and we want them to be neighborly. We're willing to be neighborly. We would hope that the Coles are as well. Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, I'd like to point out that there was a lot of great information in there, but the criteria discussed, and there will not be a retort to this, the criteria discussed was for a variance that would be in front of the Board of Adjustment, not in front of the Planning and Zoning Board. As many of you know, the criteria for lakefronts is clearly spelled out, and you do have the ability to go up to 50 feet, though we strive for the average lake setback. So good information, but you are not the Board of Zoning Adjustment.
Sure, no, understood. And also, I don't think we impose a variance where there isn't one. I mean, I don't even think it's our purview, but thank you.
Yeah, but again, it is a guideline, and it's a fair guideline
to
follow.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the public who would like to address the board? Is it on? Do we have the... We're good. We're live.
Can you hear me?
Yep. Now we got you. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Robin Evans Swan. My mother's home is directly to the east of the Randolph's home. Her home is at 761 Virginia Drive. Her home will be impacted in terms of her view. We're not comparing apples to apples here when we're talking about views. The homes that are in the cove have only a limited view of the expanse of the lake. Hers in particular at 761 Virginia Drive. And also as well, the home to the east, three doors down from the applicant's lot, which is owned by Kathy and Sam King. So 761 is really limited already. The majority of her view is looking at other homes, the back of the other homes. They're lovely homes, but they are not the view that the applicant has, or most every other house on the shoreline. So if she were here, and I am speaking on her behalf, she couldn't be here, my mother, but that would be the first thing that she would want you to know. Thinking about comparing apples to apples, that's not the case here. These are two different kinds of view that we're starting with. And then her other concerns have to do with precedent. She's concerned that as properties change hands over time, when will enough be enough when it comes to making changes? Because she built the house with my father in 1976, if she were here, she's also a feisty senior, and if she were here, she would say she pays a lot of taxes to be a lakefront owner. And if standards ought to be created for lakefront lakefront owners in terms of views. I don't, you know, maybe that's a possibility. I don't know, but I had to be honest in my depiction of her views. that is one of them too. So again, these homes, as they change hands, we hope that you'll consider the possibility of a gradual, with each change, a gradual creep further and further toward the lake. So please take into consideration the types of views we're talking about and also precedent. We appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else from the public like to address? Sure.
Hi, my name is Michelle Randolph. I live at 741 Virginia Drive next door. I know a lot of the things Allison said were really big terms, but I think to make it more simply, there's 13 homes currently on Virginia Drive. The average square foot of the lots on Virginia Drive are only 0.42 to 0.58 acres. These are very small lakefront lots. The average home of these, the average size of these 13 homes is only about 3,500 square feet. Okay, the proposed home is over 5,200 square feet. It's 42% larger than the average. So this is something, you know, really to keep in mind. You know, with all respect to Jeff, he said this is similar to the other two situations. Those other two homes, the one was asking for a couple feet. This is 30-something feet. And the other home was actually right at the average 200 on either side. So we're talking about going beyond 30 feet of the recommended 200 feet when the other two homes today were at the recommended and just a couple feet over the recommended. This is substantial. So I decided to go and search on the city and search on realtor.com and go through all the chain of lakes in Winter Park. I could not find one home over 5,000 square feet on a half acre lot. This lot is 0.44 acres. There were no 5,000 square foot homes on half acre lots anywhere that I could find on the Winter Park chain of lakes. There's also been 7 sales this year with homes that are an average of the size that, want to be built. And of those 7, they're on Forest, Trisman, Columbia, Palmer, Green Cove, Preserve, and Gibson Green. They range from 0.7 acres to over 2 acres. And the amount of these homes is around 4,500 square feet to 6,500 square feet. These lots are double, triple, quadruple the size of the lot we're talking about. This is very substantial. And, you know, I'm also worried about the environment and what these lakes are going to look like for all the boaters, for everyone that enjoys them. If we're going to start moving these houses all down to the, as close as we can get to the water, and this is a 0.4 acre lot, and we have lots that are 2 and 3 acres, what are they going to be building? 30,000 square foot homes everywhere. The lakes are, you know, there's so much wildlife down there, and there's just no way that this is good for the environment for us to all throw and push our homes, you know, way, way up. Our house was built in 2000. There are some other newer homes on the street. Our house isn't getting knocked down anytime soon. So, you know, to say that every house is a knockdown and everyone's going to move forward, it's still, what's going to happen to the chain of lakes if we all do this to it? Because when you're on your boat and you see these houses way far back and you have these expansive lawns and you have all the birds and all the nature out there, it's all going to be gone. It's just going to be concrete. So I just ask you to consider that, because right in the code that says that you're supposed to do the average of 200 feet and that you can go up to 50 feet, the, you know, quoted section 5887, the city's lakes, canals, and streams are among the city's greatest assets, and it is in the public interest to require that their aesthetic appeal and water quality be maintained and enhanced when possible. So let's not forget about the people that don't have a voice here, because the environment should have a voice too.
You're out of time. I'm sorry. You're a minute over already. Sorry. Thank you. Anyone else from the public like to address the board? Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Christian Swan. I reside at 281 Salvador Square in Winter Park. And during my service on the P&Z in 2019, along with some of you. We saw several applications come before us. In two instances, I recall, 12 Oaks, which was mentioned earlier, and the 43,000 square foot Palmer House, Palmer Avenue House, we applied the 50 foot minimum in the absence of an easily calculable average setback on 200 feet on either side of the subject property. In both instances, the shoreline was not reasonably straight, or the lot was at the end of a road where you couldn't get the average on either side of the subject. Secondly, in the other instances where there was an easily calculable average building setback on the lake, they were mostly on Lake Killarney that I recall, where it was easy to establish. And not only that, the applicants didn't even ask for a deviation from the building, the lakefront setback. So in this case, you have a quantifiable building average setback, and it's not even a close call. I know that when I built custom homes in Winter Park in the past, there are litmus tests when analyzing whether you want to buy a lot or not, and that is how much square footage can you build on it to get the maximum for your investment. One of those is FAR. The other is impervious coverage. So on the lakefront, clearly there's a third litmus test, and that would be the average of the building setback of the existing homes. And in the case you don't have that, you have the 50-foot fallback, which is the case in 12 Oaks and the others. So with that, that's all I've got.
Thank you. Anyone else from the public like to address the board? Okay, Mary, do we have anyone in online that would like to talk?
Yes, we have 8 attendees in the queue. If any attendee would like to speak, please use the raise hand feature. If you're participating by phone, please press *9 and I will unmute you.
Anyone online want to address 721 Virginia Drive? We closed the portion here, I'm sorry.
There's no raised hands.
No raised hands, okay. That's the applicant, and he's coming up next, I assume. So I mean, if you'd like to come up and address, that's fine. I mean, it is still the public portion. We just moved to the internet. I just wanted to give them a chance to speak first, but yes, you can come up.
My name is Jeff Mottram. I'm the builder of the contractor, and most of the arguments that are being argued are FAR related. And this lot, regardless of the size, it is permitted to have an FAR that's actually greater than what the applicant is applying for. As far as the view, I believe if you look at the Jeff's slide where it blocks out the 19%, he's including the balcony of the second floor, which actually is see-through. So the setback is 20 feet from the rear of the house. So from the second floor, which her photograph is from, there was no effect on her view from the second floor, and very little effect on the first floor because of the wall that she has at the end of her patio. So in your consideration about the irregular lot and this and that and the other thing, that's an FAR issue, which they're requesting less than they're permitted. And as far as the setback and the view, there's no effect on the view. Any questions?
No, we don't. Thank you. Yes, you're able to, as the public, address the board. Sorry about that.
My name is John Randolph. I live at 741 Virginia Drive. I don't think there's, you know, much debate here. You know, this house goes considerably further back, and I don't think the numbers are even close. to say that it doesn't impact the view, I think is not true from the first and second floor. Also, if you look at the slides provided by Mr. Briggs, he had a piece of paper basically going over to the left. That's not really representative because their house ends at the end of our pool deck and he just had a little tiny corner block there. So I think the impact was sort of understated here. Having said all that, you know, we're open to discussing a reasonable settlement here. Perhaps moving the house 15 feet closer to the road, moving it over 5 to 7 feet to the left, and then having a restriction on the hedges would certainly be something we would be open to discussing, as well as possibly having the boat dock move to the left-hand side of the property, because if they're going to block the view going left, then we could move the boat dock out of the view to the left-hand side of the property. At least it would open up the bottom portion of the water. So I think there's some workable things that we could all, you know, agree on, hopefully and possibly. And we're certainly open to discussing that. And I don't know if now's the time or do we do it later, but that would be certainly something we would be willing to talk over.
Can you enlighten the board on the conversations you've had so far with the applicant?
Sure. We had talked to the applicant several months ago, just, you know, offhand, just trying to be friendly. And we knew there was going to be a house built. And we were asked to give our survey to establish the setbacks. And then we provided that. But there was really no talk about the size of the house. We didn't hear anything about this house being twice as big as all the other houses on the street until we got the letter in the mail from Mr. Briggs with basically the plans. So we were a bit taken aback, and that was only a couple weeks ago. So we've had to kind of scramble to get everything together and figure out what's going to go on and how this is going to impact our view. We've had engineers look at this and try to figure out some of these same angles that everyone else had. I did contact the applicant a couple weeks ago just to see where he was at, if a discussion was something that was possible. And the discussion was brief. We did discuss possibly moving the house up and possibly over and maybe moving the boat dock to the other side just to preserve as much view as possible. I'm realistic. I know some of the view is going to be lost. I'm not objecting to that because there's going to be a house built there and it's not going to be the same size as the previous house, but we just want it to be reasonable. And so I would like to come to a sensible agreement where perhaps everyone's, you know, happy in the end. But we did have a brief discussion, didn't really go anywhere. That was last week. And then here we are tonight. So,
okay. Thank you.
So that's my stance. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else from the public? Not yet. If you're coming up as the applicant, which I assume you are. Anyone else online? I know I'm going back, but Mary, closing. Okay, we close it. I will close the public comment portion at this point. I will invite the applicant back up to address the questions and issues raised. Please don't make a presentation, but just address the questions that were raised in the public comment. Thank you.
My name is Jonathan Cole. I'm the applicant, and I purchased this piece of land, which was without a house, in August of last year. And since then, I've been, you know, going through a lengthy permitting process with the assistance of the planning division. And my whole objective from the beginning is to not impact the neighbors in any detrimental way. I want to build something that's reasonable, given the lot, given that the house was there, this will be bigger. To my understanding, I am within FAR and within code per my team and the city officials that I've spoken to. I'm happy to try and work something out that is reasonable to the neighbors. Again, I am of the opinion of Jeff that I'm not unduly impacting the views that, you know, kind of go across this property that we're speaking about. And I guess that's kind of it from where I stand. I'm you know, a little surprised that I feel bad that I've waste this much time on this piece of property, but My understanding is I'm within code. I own the piece of land, and I'm not trying to unduly impair anybody's view or impact anything or mess with the environment or do anything in that regard. And the first communication I had with the neighbor is I never requested a survey. There was an instance where we met down at the bottom, and we were talking about my boathouse, which was in permitting for the last 8 months and got approved as of 2 weeks ago for where it is now. So I've been through a painstakingly long process to try and do this the right way. And then after the conversation with the neighbors last week, I literally woke up the next morning asking for me to then move the boathouse, which took 8 months to permit. So you can imagine my surprise. And then questions related to what landscaping is going on the sides. And for me, again, I don't mean to be blunt, but I think I'm trying to stay within code and within FAR and within the setbacks. My understanding is that I am. Beyond that, I'm happy to try and, you know, preserve property values for the neighbors while trying to add value, being one of the newer homes that is going up from a teardown. And I think that's kind of what I hear tonight, that I'm kind of a victim of being one of the first teardowns in that area that's essentially being rebuilt. So I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Okay. At this point, I'd like to open it up to the board. My sense is we will have questions for staff.
If I could, Mr. Chairman, sure. Before we begin, I'd like to reread the purpose and intent of Lakefront and let the board know we had discussions. You know, there was some Board of Zoning Adjustment hearing. Very good points brought up, but I want to let you know what abilities you do have to modify if you feel that there are undue blockages or anything like that. So Section 5887, lakefront lots, canal front lots, stream front lots, boathouses, docks. Purpose and intent. It is the intent of the section to ensure that buildings and structures on canal fronts, lakefront lots, and stream front lots are not constructed or placed such that boating hazards will be created, that construction shall be compatible with the natural grade of the property, that water pollution from stormwater runoff and other sources will be minimized, that views of water from adjoining properties will not be unduly impaired, that existing trees shall be preserved to the degree reasonably possible, and the appearance of the property and the shore when viewed from the water will be kept as natural as reasonably possible. And when we get down into what the board's purview is that is kind of the purpose, but the requirements of this section are minimum requirements, and the Planning and Zoning Board or the Lakes and Waterway Board, if they're considering a boathouse, may impose more restrictive requirements and conditions on the height, bulk, location, and any other aspect of the proposed development where necessary in order to accomplish the purpose and intent of this section. And then it just states review by P&Z shall be at a public meeting. So if the board feels that there is undue blockage, that there is a massing size, it's not as like you were building a house on a street without a lakefront lot, where you would just be able to build by code to your maximum FAR. It is not given or granted here that you have to be able to build to the maximum FAR. The board has the ability to modify the bulk standards, if you will, in order to meet the purpose and intent of the code. And I know that is still very nebulous and gives you that there's not a lot of, at least plenty of gray for discussion, but it's there's no exact science to it. It's hearing the concerns from the neighbors, from and from what staff has presented. But you do have the ability to make modifications should you feel that those are necessary. And then there's always the ability to table, to all those options. But I just thought it was worth repeating that there is the ability, if you feel it's egregious in some way, to make modifications or require those, and the applicant would then have to meet those standards or reapply or something like that.
Thanks for the clarification.
Yes, sir.
Let's open it up for board questions. Anybody?
So I have, sure.
This is both a, this will end up being a question for the applicant, but also just a general statement. And one of the things I've learned since I've been on P&Z is that while our role is to approve or deny lakefront lot applications, our unofficial role, and I've learned this, Ross, from you a lot, is to encourage goodwill between neighbors and to encourage communication. I can't imagine wanting to move into a neighborhood where I'm immediately despised or hated because of what I've done. If anything, when we moved into Winter Park, one of the things we were happy about was just the opposite, was how nice our neighbors were. So our unofficial role can be that of mediation, which we may be doing here tonight. On that basis, I guess my question for the applicant is, it looks like you have a significant driveway and on one side of the house, a significant, whether it's pavers or concrete, a significant area. I'm not sure what the front yard setbacks are here, but a reasonable compromise, unless it was was attached to an exorbitant cost, would be to move the house 15 to 20 feet forward, which, while it would still block some view, it seems, at least there would be a proposed win-win for everybody. Creation of goodwill, you work with your neighbors, and hopefully do not impact the way the house looks too much on the street. And is that a consideration?
If we could make sure to have any dialogue from the applicant, make sure we have it on the
Can I jump in here and make a suggestion? Owen, I know you're going to have questions on clarification.
No, I was actually going to make a motion, Ross. So go ahead.
I'm going to ask for a 30-day stay.
That's my motion.
I'm going to tell you why. I've been doing this 8.5 years, and I know exactly. We've done this 100 times. If the neighbors can talk with the applicant, knowing now what's on the table, massing, left setbacks, right setbacks, front setbacks, hedges are on the discussion board, and really mandate that the two get together and discuss an acceptable situation. They have to live next to each other. This is obviously a close community. You can hear it. They know everybody. They've been there for all these years. They're probably good friends. I don't know. But you probably want to be a good neighbor in this situation. But this seems to me the perfect scenario for a 30-day cooling off period. It's not fully baked. They need to talk. And I don't want to be the referee of this. Mm-hmm. I don't. No. I mean, it would be an arbitrary decision right now. The way the coastline bends, I get all that. And this needs to be discussed between the applicant and the neighbors, two neighbors to the left and two neighbors to the right. And that's how I'm going to vote. I'm going to ask for a stay. I know we need a second and we need a discussion on that.
I think a motion to table takes precedent and I'm going to move.
Sorry, Owen.
Okay. A motion to table takes precedent and I'm going to move that we table this for 30 days and encourage the applicant and the neighbors to speak through this and reach some unduly burdensome conclusion.
Less duly burdensome conclusions.
Yes. Can I make the suggestion, a slight modification to the motion, that it is continued to the next regular meeting of the Planning and Zoning Board?
Yeah, well, that actually is my intent. So, yes, I'll modify the motion accordingly. And, of course, it needs a second.
I'll second that.
I don't know what the point of a motion, but does anybody else have any comments? Jim, you're okay? We're good with all this? Are we ready to go to a vote? Did anyone have anything? Go ahead, Dave.
Just one quick comment. And one thing that it is not our purview, and I think it's really important, and it's important for all of you to keep in mind, it is not our purview to determine how big or small a house should be on a piece of property. That is really up to the owner of the property. And unless they're, we can't dictate taste or economics or anything like that. So I just want you all to keep that in mind as well. It's not our job to tell people they got to build a bigger house or a smaller house, as the case may be.
That's a great point, David. And I don't like to regulate the size of square footage or architecture or any of those kind of things. Again, I think they can be worked out between the neighborhood and between the applicant. So again, I would ask for a formal stay of 30 days to the next regular Planning and Zoning Board meeting.
I feel like I made that, but I will make it again. A formal stay. I was suggesting the word is table.
You
can use your words if you like.
that we stay this motion to the next, or this application until the next regularly scheduled meeting of the Planning and Zoning Board, with the idea that we're encouraging the applicant and neighbors to explore some options, to agree upon some consensus solution to move this forward.
And that would probably include discussions with staff.
Yes, I was
I think that absolutely has to include discussions.
So that staff has a revised set of information for the board in a month. Mr. James, you seconded that, correct? Can you resecond that?
I'll even resecond that.
Thank you. Mary, can we have a roll call vote on the motion to stay?
Mr. Bornstein?
Yes.
Mr. Fitch?
Yes.
Dr. James?
Yes.
Dr. Baish?
Yes.
Chairman Johnston?
Yes. Stay passes unanimously. Thank you. Okay, on to SPR 2107. Norma Desmond Properties, LLC.
Yes, the next and final agenda item tonight is another lakefront site plan review, this time for a home at 570 Seminole Drive. And they're building a new two-story, roughly 16,500 square foot home. That's quite big, but so is the property. Is the property is an acre and two-thirds. There's the location aerial-wise. It's vacant right now, so we have almost a two-acre property that can hold a 16,000-17,000 square foot home on it. And you can see from that aerial there's a lot of nice trees on this property. Fortunately, they're on the edges where they can be preserved, all except one, depending on how you count them, because some are clustered together, 17 to 20. It's a nice cluster in the front where the circular driveway went around, and they're saving all of the trees on the site, save one. There is some grade drop on this property, as we are routinely running into. Here is our site plan layout. And while they still have a front circular with two three-car garages on the north and south, that stand of trees is to the left, to the west, and being preserved. We have plenty of room for lakefront runoff, rainfall, to get around the house, because we have 25, 30-foot setbacks. Here's a picture of the property down the center. What is important is on the south side, I have to get another set of fingers. On the north side, it's completely open. And so we do have a pool. It's about 6 feet in the air and a significant size house. And so I understand that there is a friendship relationship between the builder and this homeowner, but still in the long run, since there is no privacy buffer, landscape privacy buffer at all. And since we do have a significant house as well as pool deck, you did see that the staff condition is to implement with a variety of plant materials that have been suggested by the landscape architect for this project, that there be a landscape buffer installed as part of this approval. Because the next picture, this is the view to the property to the south, 802 Georgia, where there is no view. There's that dense landscape screen that does not impact them at all in terms of the home or the swimming pool. So with that one condition with respect to landscaping, otherwise it meets all our codes and our lakefront criteria, staff is recommending approval.
Okay, any questions for staff at this point? Do we have any letters from the neighbors at all, or any?
No, I spoke to the owner to the south, 802 Georgia, and they were okay with the project. Okay, again, considering that's they're looking at that landscape buffer.
We should really just ask if the criteria is the two houses to the left and the two houses to the right. Have you heard from the two houses to the left or the two houses to the right?
For the one.
Okay, thank you. Anything for staff?
So there are no neighbor complaints?
No.
Okay.
Yay.
Okay. Moving on, we'll ask the applicant if they'd like to come up and address the board. Don't have to, or if they're even here.
We're here if there's any questions, but.
Come back after if you have any questions. That's fine. That seems to be working for Waterfront. At this point, I'd like to open it up for public comments. If there's anyone in the room who would like to come forward. Seeing none in the room, we'll close the room, open it up for the internet. Mary, anyone online who'd like to talk?
There are four attendees online. If any would like to speak, you can use the *9 on your phone or the raise hand feature, and I will unmute you.
Again, this is your last opportunity to speak on 570 Seminole Drive out there on the internet. Sometimes people come back later. We'll close this. It will close for good. If you have anything to say, now's the time. Okay. No. Hearing none, we will close the public portion and open this up for board comments. Okay. Seeing none. Jim, can you make a motion for us on this one?
Make a motion for approval of SPR 21-07, request of Norma Desmond Properties LLC for approval to construct a new two-story 16,531 square foot single family home located at 570 Seminole Drive on Lake Virginia, zoned R1 AAA.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Roll call, please, Mary.
Dr. James?
Yes.
Mr. Borenstein?
Yes.
Dr. Beisch?
Yes.
Mr. Fitch?
Yes.
Chairman Johnston?
Yes. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. That concludes our public business for the evening. Thank you, everyone. And to Bronze for new business.
Yep, just wanted to take the opportunity. We don't know yet, but we know that there are the appointees to the board. There are one each by the four sitting commissioners and three by the mayor. We congratulate our new mayor, Mr. Anderson, becoming our new mayor. So, and we don't know that. What picks he's going to make. So if this is the last meeting for the members who were appointed by former Mayor Leary, I just wanted to make sure you knew how much staff appreciates our time working with you. This is a tough, tough job where you are put in positions where you have to make tough decisions with a lot of gray area, especially, I mean, lakefronts. We, of course, we'll never forget all the conditional uses and the long lines that we've gone through, but it's been a pleasure to work with all of you and with the new board members, and we just wanted to express our appreciation and hope you if you continue, we would be thrilled. If it's other boards or committees, we would be thrilled as well. But your service is appreciated by staff, city management, and the city commission. So just wanted to make sure you knew how much we appreciate you.
Thank you. All right. That's new business. I guess there's a lot of there's no board updates. I think you'll have board updates next month.
We will know more after, I believe, the next commission meeting is, I believe the upcoming meeting is when appointments are made. But we will certainly.
Do you want to hold the work session? Is there a topic?
Oh,
Bronze?
I will, and Allison reminded me that I should introduce the newest member of our department, Mr. Aaron Hull, who is our new planning specialist. If you probably haven't been into City Hall lately, if you have the upstairs, if you're used to seeing the upstairs permitting area, it got a much needed makeover, and it used to be Grand Central Station with permitting, but now that we've moved to a mostly online system, we have this beautiful new area and barely anybody shows up, except we did add a window for business certificates, which Mr. Holt will be handling mostly. So we invite you to stop by anytime and see things. But
well, if the Texas Rangers baseball game is any indication, people will return.
You know, the online system is great in some ways, and I'll let Allison fill you in on all the fun
parts. I'm just
parts.
Suggesting that maybe the work session might be a good one to cancel.
Yes,
I think you're in limbo, and I don't think any topics are probably going to be manageable until you get to May.
Yes, we as we kind of get everything put together, probably mostly for the overlay, put together all the comments we have, I think there's a great opportunity for discussion. I know there's interest with P&Z, but we are, though we say we're close, we still have many, many months to go, and we'll have some probably longer work sessions to discuss a lot of the ins and outs and that sort of thing. And we're happy to have those and make sure that each member of the board has every bit of information they need as we then at that point is when we will probably do the citywide notice and start that. We've successfully held online virtual charrettes, which if you are familiar with charrettes, they're where people sit around tables and draw and have ideas and throw things out. So a virtual one was a bit tough, but we had consultants in land design who made an interactive system where you could live vote on different options that were presented for the Progress Point Park, which was a very cool software tool. And then we had an online public forum, which typically would be held in this room here on transportation and on visuals for Orange Avenue overlay, which we had a very good crowds for, where we had a presentation and we're able to take question and answer. So we're adapting to make sure we can have as much public involvement as possible. And we remain hopeful that things trend in the right direction with vaccines and that sort of thing. And we are adapting much like yourselves in how meetings are held and when and where and how. So
well, it's been fun being the guinea pigs.
You always were the guinea pigs. You always have the first meeting of the month. So any new idea that staff had, it was always P&Z who got to try it first and work out all the kinks. So sorry for that.
Okay. If that's it, we will move on, I guess. Richard.
Yeah, as a new board member, I would like to thank you and Owen and Laura, who's not here, for being such good mentors to us newbies on how all this goes down and how to conduct ourselves. Not conduct ourselves. So, I do appreciate it. And I hope you guys, maybe the mayor will pick you again or decide to put you on something else.
Maybe. I've been here a long time.
Kristen showed back up tonight. So, you know, sometime.
You never know.
So thank you very, very much. You won't be thanking us once you revisit the motion that you seconded that we
made. Oh, and I was thinking
that was a specific. That was a specific.
It's going to be a complete new board when they show back up. I was thinking the same thing.
I did think about that
before. Yeah. I said, am I throwing these guys to the sharks? But
pawned it off.
No, it'll be a good board. This is a different structure this time, and it worked. And I wasn't sure how it would work, and it did work, and everybody's been great. And, you know, really, I think we're common sense, middle of the road people who objectively look at every issue. And that's the thing. I just don't think the word I said up here the most was precedent. And there, even if there's precedent, it still comes through the board. You still analyze it, you still get to shape it. And that's a good That's a good structure at Winter Park, what they've done here. And I think this board has a lot of value. I don't want to see its importance and its authority undermined. And I'll leave it at that. You know how I feel. This board is very important and its decisions are very important. I'd like to see it become more important because it has a good objective group. I don't want to see its decisions come second or not matter. Right. This board will be swamped by Orange Avenue overlay. There is no doubt about it. And it needs to play an important role in this city. It's the biggest thing that you're going to do in the next
absolutely.
Year.
So.
Speaking of.
Yeah, oh. I'm sorry, can I make one final goodbye comment, which is directed to all the other members. I can't speak for my other commissioners' experiences, but I do work with planning boards like Laura, who is not here tonight, all over the state. And I will say with no reservation that the members on this board, in terms of their level of being informed, their level of comment, their level of analysis, would rank this planning board as one of the most effective that I have ever dealt with. And I'm not speaking specifically to how the commission ultimately responds to our decisions. That's a policy matter. But I'm talking about the basic thought and deliberation that goes into our decisions, regardless of what the commission then does with them. It has been a joy to me when I think about all the other boards in different parts of the state and the level of preparation and commentary that goes with their decisions is quite extraordinary. And I think you would probably hear that from Bronze, not to solicit that opinion, but he obviously has worked with many others, as has Allison and Jeff, who's not here. So I do want to say that, and I want to thank all of you for participating in that way and treating this board with, I think, the value and integrity that it has. So thank you for allowing us to participate with you.
A couple things I'd like to say. First of all, I want to thank you all also. I did put a call in, and I mentioned this, Ross, to you. I put a call in to our new mayor requesting that he at least speak to each of you to see about maintaining some continuity in history on planning and zoning. Don't know what, you know, he thought it was a good idea. He told me that. He did not tell me anything else. But I do think that your input and your knowledge is important, and to let this board become a board made up of a group of people who have no more than a year of experience is problematic at best. And so I hope that that is not the case. As far as behavior and misbehavior, I want to talk about my own personal misbehavior on this board. And I know I got heated at the last work session over the OAO and our role in that. And part of that comes, I think, from my lack of experience here. And as well, my experience as a real estate developer, quite honestly, where I am used to going in front of planning and zoning boards and feeling the weight of a presentation and the importance of that board and feeling like the first step that I would ever have to take in order to get an approval, whether it was a zoning approval for a new development or a new project, was to get through P&Z in a positive manner. And if I didn't do that, I felt like what I was doing was going to inevitably fail in front of the city commission. So I maybe have placed greater emphasis on the opinions of this board and how it is taken by the city commission. So when recently two of our decisions were negated by the city commission, I began wondering what our purpose was. And in looking at the overlay and the fact that the city commission has been working on it so assiduously for the past year, and we really haven't, I had some concerns about the efficacy of this board and whether our input was important, necessary, anything like that, which is why I reacted. And which is why I sent a letter to every member of this board requesting that we meet with the city commission to start talking about the overlay. I just want to make a point here that nobody responded. so that there are no issues about sunshine laws. That being said, it is a concern of mine. What I was left with was that the only way to make a request for something to be put on the PNZ agenda is to do it at PNZ.
Right,
you
now.
Can't do it. Because what I said in my email was I was simply making a request to meet with the city commission, which did not seem to me to violate anything in terms of of information or something that would be detrimental to the public. That being said, nothing came of it, and hopefully something will in the future. And I'll try to restrain myself in the future.
Don't.
Or maybe not, but we'll see. All right. But thank you all again. I really value your time and input, and I value all of our time and input, which is why I reacted also.
Okay.
Now.
One for the road. We are adjourned.
All right.
Now, this time when we have these transitions on every board that I've been on, the board usually goes out drinking. They always have.